Live from Witch Mountain in Salem, Massachusetts, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 horrifying minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, author, statesman, inventor, the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers and the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the eldest and scariest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, ooh, are you ready? Are you scared? Marksman, sculptor, daredevil. The 7-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who's always willing to lend a hand in digging up a grave. The youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Draw blood.
You know, it's weird about that song, you know, Werewolves of London.
Yeah.
Always gets played around Halloween time.
Right.
You know, Warren Zevon. But I think the only movie that it was ever used in had nothing to do with Halloween whatsoever.
What was it?
It was Color of Money while Tom Cruise is playing a game of pool, hustling a game of pool.
Do you know that was actually a sequel to...
The Hustler.
Hustler, yeah.
Yeah, because Paul Newman...
Yeah, reprised his character.
And he was old.
And he's old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's Halloween time.
Ah,
Halloween. You know that line...
Warren Zevon.
Yeah, he's kind of creepy.
He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He should be.
I think mostly as a songwriter.
Yeah, I think other people covered his songs.
Other people did better with his songs than he did with his songs.
I think Linda Ronstadt covered Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me.
There you go. That's kind of a sad song, too.
Yeah, it is.
Some of his songs are creepy.
Yeah. You know, Excitable Boy.
Oof. Like, build a cage of his girlfriend's bones
that he killed, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's all about Halloween. You know, that's just, you know.
No, the business...
Just talk. Wait a minute. One other thing. In this intro business...
Yeah.
Author? What'd you author? What have you authored?
I've written 2 books.
That are, what, laying on your desk somewhere?
Yeah, they're laying around.
Okay.
They're not published, I grant you that, but it doesn't make me any less of an author.
Okay.
I didn't say best-selling author Rick Ringhausen.
Yeah, well, I authored a postcard one time.
Well, then I'll put that in the next introduction.
You ever send a postcard?
Oh, yeah, a whole bunch of them.
When?
Over the years. Every time we went on vacation, we left our kids with mom and dad, we'd send them postcards.
No kidding.
Yeah, Sue and I'd send postcards.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
That's weird.
You've never sent a postcard?
You're weird. I've never seen a postcard.
I bet you never got one. I bet no one ever sent you one.
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Well, when I was in prison, I got a couple.
All right. Last episode, we talked about body parts and stuff, right?
We did.
And it referenced you being a gravedigger here. Do you know that back when, like in the early late Renaissance, when they started making advances in medicine, that digging up graves was how they got their cadavers?
Sure, I did know that.
That it was very common.
Yeah, robbing graves. They weren't doing it legally.
No, yeah, technically they weren't robbing the... They weren't robbing the corpses for the money or things that brings that were buried with them or anything like that. They were literally taking the bodies.
Just the body, so yeah. They could do...
medical research.
Yeah, for a cadaver lab.
Yeah, like... And if you look at, like, Leonardo da Vinci's drawings, you know, of, like, all the muscles and stuff, I mean, he was involved in a little bit of that, too.
That was just the way of the world back then.
Yeah. It was acceptable. Socially acceptable. Less so now.
It's frowned upon.
But it is Halloween.
Right.
So if you're going to do it, I would say Halloween would be your time.
But, you know, the thing is, Rick, nowadays, you know, and I've seen some incredible Halloween decorations and the things that you can buy nowadays.
Oh my gosh.
Halloween decorations. Like, you can get a skeleton, life-size skeleton.
Yeah, and very realistic.
Oh, man, yeah. And, you know, it's just cast bone, you know, plastic, I'm assuming, whatever. But it looks real.
Do you remember, like, in high school biology class,
they would have a skeleton hanging from, like, a metal rod or whatever.
But,
yeah.
But a real human skeleton.
It was the real thing.
Held together with wires or wired.
And now, where
do
they get that?
That's a good question.
You know, like, if I said, I want to donate my skeleton to hang in somebody's biology classroom, I better get a few bucks for that. Could have taken that.
I'm sure you could.
But that's not donating.
No, I'd say back in the day where you took a job as a high school biology teacher.
Yeah.
You were probably required to
go dig up a.
Go dig it. Go get one. You want the job, you had to bring a skeleton with you. Again, you could probably get a job as a high school teacher without having to do that now.
Maybe. As in what country you're in.
No, Alan. Well, you don't have to.
All right.
I mentioned the Salem witch trials in this opening, too. They recently went back through all the records of the Salem witch trial.
And found out that they didn't really happen.
Well, most of them weren't witches at all. Most of them that got killed or put to death.
Were adulteresses.
Well, that just went for without saying in New England. But most of them were not witches. I mean, most of them were a miscarriage of justice.
What constitutes a witch?
Well, you know, pointy hat, big, slightly green tint to your skin, and conversing with Satan at midnight.
Okay, you know. You and I have gone down to like this.
I've never conversed with Satan at midnight.
Gone to
that's
this,
what you're warming
this,
up to.
Farmer's market in St. Louis, and
yeah,
and on the farm, you know, and out in the woods, you know, you find, you know, little animal parts, you know, like a turtle shell or a skull of a raccoon or something like that.
Or deer shed their horn every year.
Or deer antlers, stuff like that. So, you know, I gathered these things together, and then I sell them, and I sold. I can't remember what exactly. Some teeth, some animal teeth. You know, I'd put them in a bag.
Yeah.
And
I was there. I saw this.
Yeah. And I said, so what kind of witchcraft are you involved in? And she kind of looks at me and says, this isn't for witchcraft. This goes on my altar.
That would be that goth girl with all the piercings and the really black hair.
Well, that was all of them. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
she kind of scared me a little bit, Rick.
Especially,
it's not quite Halloween.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. I mean, you know, I went to Mass this Sunday, and I didn't see him put any jawbones up on the altar.
No, yeah, like who's she worshiping? Okay, so I was
you were talking about that fruit market, though.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about the last time you and I went down there together, along with Jeff Getten?
Yeah.
Okay, so we go down.
And Jeff Getten was a teacher at the high school, but I don't think he dug up any graves. He was an ag teacher, wasn't he?
He dug up dead animals.
Right, okay.
Anyway, we go down to this farmer's market, you know, classic farmer's market. And it's in a, you know, public park. We're setting the tent up. You always have a tent up, you know, kind of keep sun off. But this particular day, we were not setting it up to keep the sun off us because we get it about halfway set up and it starts to sprinkle. Like, oh, no.
Set up the other tent.
So we set up the other tent so we could keep all of our stuff under it. And it kind of, you know, rained on and off, sprinkled on and off. And then finally you start hearing thunder and the officials come and shut it down about an hour before it was done anyway. So we're loading everything up. Now it's starting to rain harder. We're throwing stuff in the truck as fast as we can. It's rained so hard now that the curb that we're set up by has water running through it about 3-4 inches deep now, you know, so you just get your feet soaked. And of course, you know, the last thing you have to put on is you take down the tent and throw it on, but in that few minutes that you're dealing with the tent, you're soaked.
Right.
So, you know, here we are all soaking wet, and we head back towards home, and we're coming across the bridge between Missouri and Illinois, and And of course, you and Jeff start your whining routine.
We're hungry.
We're going to eat before we go home, aren't we? So I said, where do you want to go? And of course, you say McDonald's, and Jeff Gettins, you know, has different taste than you, says, why don't we go to Fast Eddie's? And you replied,
I've never been to Fast Eddie's.
That settles it. We're going to Fast Eddie's. So Fast Eddie's is this kind of iconic place in the town of Alton, Illinois.
Which is right by the Mississippi River, just north of St. Louis.
Right. And it's been an establishment in this town for years and years and years. And it's always crowded, always packed, has cheap food, cold beer, live music, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
So we go there and of course, we park as far away as you can possibly park.
Because we were in a truck.
Right, we're in a truck.
In a crowded parking lot, so you had to find a spot out towards the edge.
So it's pouring.
And it's pouring rain.
It's pouring rain, so you know, we get soaked again. We'd started to dry off before we got there. Get soaked again going into Fast Eddie's. Then we settle down. We're all happy. We got our tummies full and sit and talk for a while and then come out. Walk all the way across the parking lot.
Wait, still pouring down rain. Before you get to that part, none of us scored or had women hit on us while we were there, even though we were three single guys.
I didn't score.
Go ahead. Okay, we're walking out of Fast Eddie's.
Pouring rain. And get to the last row of vehicles where our truck is parked and step beyond the vehicles, and there we see...
Does that truck have a flat tire? Does that back tire look flat?
Oh, my God. It's a flat tire. We're standing there, all three of us standing in the pouring rain, looking at this flat tire.
And the first question, is there a spare on this truck? And the answer to that was, no.
And so then the discussion turns to, who are we going to call? And I'm, you know, like still staring at this. I get a tap on the shoulder from you, and you're pointing. And I turn to see what you're pointing at, and it's an air pump
at a gas station,
not
50 feet in front of us.
Less than 50 feet in front of us. Like, was that there when we came?
Like you said, if it was a movie. That's when the clouds would have parted just enough to let a shaft of light shine down on the air pump.
So then we look at the tire some more and come to the conclusion that it's not completely flat, to where like the rim is smashing
the ground,
the flattened out tire against the pavement, but there's still a little bit
of air.
And we decided that if I just inched over to the air pump, would probably be okay, and we could air it up and watch it for a second, see if it's hissing air or whatever. And if it's not, if it's a slow leak, we're going to make a run for it. And that's exactly what we did. After we aired up with the slowest air pump.
Yeah, that was the funny
in the
part.
Midwest.
Jeff Gettin holding this, airing up this tire, and it's just raining as hard as it can rain, you know? And the tire is filling up as slow as you've ever seen
a tire. I could have pumped it with air with a hand
pump. You could have blown it up like a balloon.
Oh, it was bad. But we finally got it, and then the decision was, well, to try and go home, that's way too many miles to risk on this crappy tire.
About 20 miles.
But
up and down hills.
But I've got a workshop just 6 miles away. And so we go for the workshop. And because I also mentioned that we have a truck in the shop that's the same make, you know, as this truck. They're both Dodges. And we've got a spare tire on the shelf.
Whoop, whoop.
And it's brand new. So we pull in there, pull out the floor jack, jack it up. And we got one of those impact.
Impact jack. Or air
impact
guns.
Wrench.
Right.
You know, like the race car drivers use. Yeah. And so in no time, Jeff's got the tire off, and I go over the shelf, pull the tire off there, and I'm like, wait a minute. How many holes are in that one you just took off there, Jeff? 6. And this one has 8.
So you plugged it.
So we went to plan B, which was to spray some soapy water on the tire until we saw bubbles coming out. There it was. Reamed it out, plugged it, put it back on the truck, drove it home. Still holding air today.
Now, that's where growing up in the farm really helped you out.
Yes, it did.
That you knew how to do that.
So, anyway, It was an adventure.
Yeah.
And it probably delayed us by, what, a couple of hours?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. But we all lived.
Yeah, and we did not have to change a tire in the rain in Fast Eddie's parking lot.
Did you notice
something? But here was the question. Here was the million-dollar question. You know, when we loaded that truck up at Farmer's Market, right?
Yeah.
You know, the back tire was in deep water at that point. So the question
was, been flat down.
Did you drive that car all the way from St. Louis to Alton on a flat tire?
That is a darn good question. I think we would have, you know, like, I think it would have swayed more than it normally does.
Like, that's possible.
Here's something else, you know. When this, the date of that was back in like mid-October or something yeah. like that. And when we were at the Fast Eddie's establishment, you know, it was this big sprawling place, you know, with hundreds of people in it. There were quite a number of adults in there. And this is, you know, like mid-afternoon in Halloween costumes.
Wearing Halloween costumes, right.
Halloween costumes, already, you know, like weeks away. Yeah. I don't get it.
Well, I think you mentioned Halloween decorations. You know, when I was a young man,
nobody decorated.
You know, you'd carve a pumpkin and put a candle in it, set it out. But in terms of, you know, putting like colored lights on things and, you know, big statues of animals that howl and stuff like that, that was not a thing.
No.
And it is a big thing now. You go to like Home Depot or Lowe's or Walmart. Oh my God.
Most elaborate decoration was you would take a balloon and put a white sheet over it and then put a rubber band around it and hang it from a tree and it looked like a ghost.
Yeah,
that was it.
All right. Halloween. You're familiar with the concept of trick or treat, right?
Well, you know, that used to be the main part of Halloween, but now it's turned into like a adult party weekend. Yeah. And when I say adult party,
like a key collection. I mean, like throw your keys in
a hat. It's about adults going to parties,
right?
Okay,
but back in the day, it was kids. You'd knock a trick or treat.
Yeah, you get some candy in a bag, and then you go to the next house.
But how often did you hear them open the door and say trick?
Never.
You always got the candy, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, you know, if you didn't get candy, by law on Halloween, you could do a trick, right?
By the unspoken law, right?
By the
unspoken law of Halloween night.
Right. And
so what were the typical things? TPing.
Bar of soap. Soap windows.
Soap and windows.
Soaping windows, I remember that as a thing that especially it would happen around Halloween. Like around Halloween, you know, if you went to like the football game at the high school, you'd come out and all the cars in the lot would be soaped.
Right. TPing. That was always a big one. Toilet paper in your houses.
I think they still do that. I think that's still a thing.
Oh, yeah. I see that a lot still. And then the other one, which I always thought was, you know, just kind of over the line, this would really get you in trouble, egging somebody's house.
Well, you know, this list we've got here
yeah.
has some instructions, you know, like grab a bar of soap. Premise straightforward, take a bar of white soap and draw hilarious or inappropriate pictures on a car window.
Right.
I mean, you needed to be told that, I guess. Pitch raw eggs at house if you really want to start some trouble. You know, throwing eggs.
Mm.
That's asking trouble. For trouble. And
that's
like, you know, I came out and someone egged my truck here in Jerseyville about a month or two ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Egged it.
Yeah, egged it. So I called the city cops.
Wait a minute. Brad was in town about a couple months ago.
Well, if Brad was in town, he went up and down the street egging cars.
Oh, did he?
Cops came and said, yeah.
You never told him where you actually live.
Said a bunch of them got egged that night. But you have to wash that off right away or it'll
eat rain off?
Eat the paint off the car.
That's not true.
You don't think?
No.
You're wrong. And I won't say it.
Okay. Throwing garbage in somebody's yard? I never heard of that. You do that? You do that kind of thing?
Take your trash and throw it in someone's yard. The problem is, unless you go through
your... I think I'll try that tonight.
Unless you go through your trash pretty careful, it's real likely that you'll leave something like a letter or something in it.
Say in a bonfire in somebody's yard?
That seems like a thing that would cause trouble.
Well, and wouldn't it take a little while to Hell, I can't get the barbecue grill to light. Who would do that?
I don't think that's
it. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Grab a cabbage and find out what your future husband will look like. A Scottish tradition, it says. Prevalent in the Northeast, practiced by settlers in the Massachusetts area, on Halloween, girls would pull cabbages out of the ground and examine their stems to divine the qualities of their future husband. A thin stem meant a thin husband, a fat stem, a fat one. Once finished, they would throw the vegetables at houses.
Now, wait a minute. So the girl would pull the cabbage out of the ground and say, look at the root on this one.
I'm guessing that Sue, being my wife, from being from Massachusetts, checked the cabbages before she married me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you know, smashing a pumpkin was just sport, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to hold up a hand here. I have smashed a pumpkin before.
Yeah, I remember that too.
But it says using a trebuchet to toss a pumpkin.
That's a good word. But a trebuchet would like throw it like half a mile, wouldn't
right.
it? And like smash it through the wall.
And then the other thing is you're going to go to your neighbor's house and
set up a catapult.
Trebuchet, you're going to have it in the back of your truck. I think that'd be kind of noticeable, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Okay, and then this is an old classic, the flaming bag of dog poop.
Has anyone on Earth ever actually done that, do you think?
Oh, yeah, I'd say that's, yeah. But the thing is there anybody left on Earth
that would walk out and stamp it out?
Now, who put this burning sack on my front porch? Why would they do?
And then just stomp on it.
Yeah.
I think that's one that's like a urban legend.
I think that's really happened. But here's my question. Who was the first guy to think of that? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to scoop up some really gooey dog poop. I'm going to put it in a bag. I'm going to set it on fire. I'm going to put it on Bob's porch.
Mat night. In Quebec, the night before Halloween is referred to as mat night. It comes from the tradition of stealing doormats and switching them with your neighbor's doormat.
Wow, those Canadians. They are wild. Get a life, man.
Look, we've got a different doormat. Oh, and the house has been egged.
Yeah. It would be different if they were switching the neighbor's wives. That'd make things a little more interesting up there in Canada, wouldn't it?
Okay. What part of the country did you grow up in?
Midwest.
Okay, read that last one out loud.
Okay. Set livestock free to enjoy gate night. It says in the Midwest, the night before Halloween is called gate night. The prank of choice is to open the gates on farms so that the livestock escape. That would get you shot. There's somebody up there letting the cows out.
Let all the hogs out. They root up the yard.
That's beyond prank. That's criminal, isn't it?
Did you ever just open someone else's livestock fence gate to let the animals roam?
Oh, God, no. Even when we were going to parties, you know, like out of somebody's lake, it was always, you close the gate when you come in or go out, you close the gate. Don't let the cows out.
Chasing animals that are out, that's a terrible job. There's nothing fun about that at all.
Nothing.
Because they never all go back
that's
in.
That's a terrible thing. Yeah. Now, there was one thing that I was aware of that occurred as a kind
are you,
of...
Are you going to say tipping cattle?
No, it was a Halloween prank. We had gone to an individual's house that was... was having a party, and the host left to go get something. I can't remember, whatever. And while he was gone, somebody took a bunch of the billiard balls off the pool table and put them in the dryer and turned it on. And then we all left. And then they all left.
Do you think it...
You're talking about a racket.
I was going to say, do you think it Woo! Made noise? Kids, don't try this at home.
I heard it a mile away. Anyway, what could have been bad is if you didn't know that at a certain temperature, your billiard balls explode.
Oh, they do not.
I just...
Can you imagine, though, if you come home and hear that going on in the basement?
What's going on? What's happening? Who would do that?
I'm guessing that if your kid has had a high school drinking party while the parents are gone, that there's going to be more evidence of it than just that.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And you know the funny thing about high school kids when they start drinking like that is they really don't care what they do to a house that's not theirs.
Not theirs, yeah. Yeah, you know, I was at a party. I should tell this story. I'll just keep the names changed. We went to a party at Mary Smith's house.
Mary Smith.
Okay. And this person that I had walked in at the same time as...
Joe Blow
walks in the kitchen and says, "Oh, wow." And opens up a kitchen cabinet that was full of plates and cups and stuff. And reaches his arm in behind it. And raked it all out onto the floor at the same time, just shattered it all. And said, turns around and just real calmly said, "I've always wanted to do that." For just no reason.
And didn't think twice.
That's not really a
and
Halloween
didn't think,
prank.
And
that's
didn't think, Halloween didn't think prank, twice about
it. Didn't think anything at all about it. And then opened up the refrigerator and started eating their food.
Oh, of course. And if they were dumb enough to have had liquor.
Oh, that just made it worse. So anyway, I think that's probably beyond pranks.
Children, young people, like listen to our podcast, young people. Don't do this at home. These are bad things. These are things that the bad
I'm
kids
guessing
do.
That the adults that listen to this program are, you know, if they're listening to this program regularly, they're going to do everything we just talked about.
I'm guessing they sat around going, you know, hey, he's talking about you, Joe. I remember the night you raked all those dishes off on the floor.
We've done way worse than that.
Man, was my mom mad.
Did we ever have a party at the house that things got broken?
I don't know about broken. We had when Larry went away to the Marines.
Prison?
No.
Oh, Marines.
Marines.
Yeah.
We were going to have a band. Larry and the Clunks are going to play, and we're going to have a little party for our friends there. At the packing shed.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we didn't have
20, 30 people.
You know, I didn't hardly have any friends.
701 Club.
Didn't have any friends anyway. And you guys didn't have many. But our brother Brad was in high school.
He was social.
And apparently at Jerseyville High School.
This is pre-internet.
Pre-internet. But somehow, man, the word got around. The high school at Brad Ringhouse. There's a party at Brad Ringhouse's house. And there would be beer. Oh, my God. I bet there were 300 kids there that night. It was astonishing. And my recollection of it was that Mom and Dad were horrified. Because it was absolutely out of control. There's no way you controlled a giant mob of people.
Right. And then you had tons of beer, loud rock and roll music.
Good, loud rock and roll music. Well, rock and roll, loud rock and roll music.
They're definitely loud. That may have been the biggest audience we ever played for.
Yeah. And the nice thing is...
And I don't think they were there for the music.
No, but I bet they thought it sounded better after they'd been there for a while than after when they first got there.
Okay. In my adult life, you know, this is like 30 years after that party. I'm at a meeting, and...
Is it where you stood up and said, "Hi, my name's Alan"?
No.
No.
It wasn't one of those meetings.
Different meeting.
It was. I was on a college campus, and they were getting ready to build a new technology building. And I was there because they were going to do some mitigation, some stormwater runoff mitigation.
And that's the sort of thing you do now.
And that was the kind of thing I was involved in at the time. And they had another guy that was the head of a construction company that was going to, you know, got the contract, and they were going to build the building and stuff. And so they're doing introductions around, you know, they got the engineer, and they got the president of the college, and they got me, and they got the contractor. And the president of the college says, "This is Allie Ringhouse, and he works at Great Rivers." He says, I know Allie. When I was a kid, we used to go to parties at their house, and they were the still the best party I've ever been in my life. And I, you know, of course, I'm stunned, shocked, and like, this kind of, you know, wait a minute.
And like your board members who are standing behind you in a row going, what's this, Alan? You've mistaken me with a different Alan Ringhausen.
Nobody wants to hear about that. But it's like, yeah, he was in Larry and the Clunks, and they had a band, and man, that was great.
That was the loudest band I ever heard. Ah, mercy.
Yeah.
What time is it? Is that time?
Yeah, we're out of time.
Well, kids.
Don't do anything that we brought up here, ever.
Be good. Listen to your parents and your teachers.
We're just all a bunch of made-up stories.
See you later, and happy Halloween from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Accept no substitutes, because there aren't any. Happy Halloween.